The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com. And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Dennis Dodd. I'm Chip Patterson. You see those sirens in your feed. You know exactly what that means, an emergency podcast. And we do it with news that does not come with the kind of shock and surprise that often is with these emergency podcasts. But it is a major development, and it moves us forward as we look at the future of, to be dramatic, college athletics. So, Dennis Dodd, we officially find out that the Big 12 has extended invitations to BYU, Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston. We have, as we are recording right now and live on YouTube, youtube.com/cover3, we have press conferences coming up at all four institutions where we expect that they will be accepting these invitations. The Big 12 got its eight members together after Texas and Oklahoma left. They committed to each other. We're moving to the future with 12 members. Hey, that's exciting. So I would say that as we're sitting here, and you know, before we get out of here, I might ask you what you think about Ohio State, Oregon, since you are in Columbus right now preparing for the biggest game of the weekend. But on the Big 12 front, what do you think are the important questions that you have or that might be answered now that we have solidified what was expected with four institutions, specifically these four, joining the Big 12?
Well, first of all, it's a head rush because it happened so quickly. You know, remember, this started on July 21st, and we're not even close to 2 months since this has happened. That being said, is the Big 12 done? I don't think they are. Not anytime soon, but I think they're going to try to corner the market on, you know, basically destabilize all of the group of five, maybe destabilize the Mountain West. They've already cut apart the American to make their case for staying in the Power Five. I mean, a lot of people in the Big 12 think that's a fait accompli already, that it's going to happen. But the Power Five right now is like the same question as what is the cloud? What is Power Five? What does that even mean right now? Because it only means something when those commissioners get in the room, Chip, for the new expanded playoff and start dividing that playoff revenue. Okay, Big 12, you get a full share. Group of five, you get to split X amount of $1 million. That's where the line comes. And I think what they're doing here, what the play is now after these four, is to maybe go to 14 and just strengthen numbers, something they've never had. You know, they only have six original members right now with these four coming in. So the more they can bring in, the more fortified they feel for the future, I think.
So when they decided not to expand in 2016, one of the comments coming from that, and that process included all of these schools, by the way, including the reports that these were among the final choices. So not a hard process if you want to expand. You've already done most of your homework. But when we heard the reports, the Big 12 said, you know, none of these schools are going to increase, the financial bottom line for all of our schools. There's not one school or there's not a group of schools that we feel is going to really enhance where we want to be from the financial side. Doesn't it feel like that is still the case, even with these moves? Like financially, there is not there's not a giant benefit from adding any one of these. It's like that was the old school thinking and realignment. I'm reading this, and tell me if I'm wrong. I'm reading this more of a case of survival for the Big 12, where they just figured, you mentioned strength in numbers. There's like, even if you know we're adding more pieces of the pie that have to be doled out, just having a pie is more important because you were right on the cusp of being picked apart, having the same fate that the Big East had during another wave of realignment.
Absolutely correct. This is a huge step up for those American teams. They're making about $7 million per year in media rights money, media revenue. I've projected that with these four, the Big 12 is going to be at about $20 to $25 million. But you have to understand, they're currently getting $37 million in media money for the 4 years left on this contract with Fox and ESPN. So there's going to have to be some belt tightening in those existing Big 12 schools. But so it's not the catastrophe it looked like, because the catastrophe it looked like on July 21st was that there would be no Big 12.
Right.
These schools would just go their separate ways. They hung together long enough to put together a plan. And I guess you got to give Bob Bowlsby and his people a lot of credit for doing this so fast, as I mentioned. But yeah, there's going to have to be some belt tightening. And I think if they are in the Power Five, there's no question then they're going to be the lowest resource Power Five. And I think by a big margin, because the Pac-12's deal is up in 3 years. The Big Ten is up in 2 years. And then the Big 12 has to wait 4 more years to get this to get their new deal done. Again, when that's done, I think it'll be worth about 20 to 25 million. Some are saying more, but it is a case of survival. In 2016, a big part of this was the Big 12 not doing it in good faith. There was a clause in the contract, and God bless whoever got this clause in. At that time, that if the Big 12 added any four teams, it was worth $1 billion to the league. They could have brought in these four. In fact, these four were probably the favorites in 2016 and would have got $1 billion. The Big 12 didn't think they added worth. And I think a big part of that was they didn't want to upset ESPN. Yes, the irony. In 2010, the ESPN stepped up when those schools left, when Nebraska left, A&M, Colorado stepped in and said, we're going to pay you for 10 the same we did for 12. The Big 12 returned the favor in 2016 when they didn't activate that clause. And then, as you saw in July, you know, Bob Bowlsby blasted ESPN for a quote unquote conspiracy to tear his league apart. So no love lost, I guess.
So with the with the irony, with the twists and turns, you mentioned the big four-letter word, which is sort of moving behind the scenes. Everyone wonders how much string pulling is going on. What is next for the American Athletic Conference, a league that just lost its New Year's Six representatives multiple times over in UCF, its New Year's Six representative from a year ago in Cincinnati, a Houston team that has, I believe, also been in the New Year's Six? Like, what does Mike Oresko, what does the rest of that league do at this point, having lost some of its strongest football programs?
Well, they're going to backfill, and I think they're going to backfill pretty quickly. What is not to be determined is if they go west and try this coast-to-coast strategy that Mike Oresko tried in 2012 and 13 with the old Big East. It fell apart. Remember that? TCU, Boise State, San Diego State. They were in until they were in it, until they weren't. I remember TCU, I think it was a matter of weeks or days or something, they were in the Big East, and then it all fell apart. So there's some question whether Mike Oresko wants to do that and get big and, again, strengthen numbers and try to be whatever the P6 thing is to him. I don't know what that means right now. But they are going to backfill probably with four and probably pretty quickly.
My other big question here is about timeline. BYU, I believe, with its own, they got to get out of the WCC. They are independent in football. I believe that they are looking at a timeline that is 2023. Some other reports here in the last hour have indicated that 2023 is also the target date for Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF, which is interesting because depending on what kind of timeline Texas and Oklahoma are put on, that would leave 2 years, unless they get out early, where Texas and Oklahoma and UCF and Houston and BYU and Cincinnati are all competing in a 14-team Big 12. What do you think? How do you project the timeline of all this to go for the ins and outs of the Big 12 membership?
Yeah, I've seen that report and I've seen the timeline. I believe it to be true. And I also believe that Oklahoma and Texas are going to hang on, not hang on, but stay in the league for the 4 full years and for 2 years playing a 14-team Big 12, because that's been the intent of the Big 12 all along, to keep them in the league as soon as possible, get that money, the $37 million that they're owed, at least those 8 original schools, now 10 original schools of Texas and Oklahoma State. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a little bit of speed dating in the Big 12 there with those two, you know, going in and out, 4 coming in, and then being at 12, and as I've said, probably getting to 14 again really soon after that.
So the if the Big 12 is not done, as you said at the very beginning of the show, do we just go right back to the same old list of candidates and wonder whether or not a Boise State is up next? You know, like, what are some of those schools that you think are now on the post? Because I would imagine that the way you played this out, you play with 14, Texas and Oklahoma leave, and you've just gotten used to playing 14. You've put in a league structure, you put in a conference schedule, and so you fill them with a new 13th and 14th. Who are the schools that might be in the running there?
You just named them. You'd have to look at the schools that have been to New Year's Six Bowls, because I think the Big 12 is going to try to corner the market on the best teams available and make those commissioners say, you can't draw a line above us because we've got the most best schools available after Texas and Oklahoma left. So what does that leave? A Boise's been to multiple New Year's Six Bowls, or BCS Bowls, if you will. Memphis. The only other three on the board that have even been there are Hawaii, Northern Illinois, and Western Michigan. I don't think you're going to see them of any interest in the Big 12. So I would start with those two and probably have a really short list.
So the Sun Belt commissioner released a very aggressive statement at the start of the day, indicating the commitment of all of the institutions to each other, that if there is a move out there to be made, the Sun Belt is ready to be aggressive. You know, we are touting the fact that we had more non-A5 autonomy 5 teams in the top 25 polls going in the playoff rankings last year. Of course, we're looking at a Louisiana, an Appalachian State, and now a recent Coastal Carolina program that are what, top 30, top 35 programs without a doubt. Is the Sun Belt trying to play defense against the American, or is the Sun Belt maybe trying to make a bigger move and entertain one of the other American schools that has now lost one of its football power?
Yeah, I think Sun Belt's trying to stay together because they're the bottom of the food chain, if you will, among the 10 FBS conferences. And it, you know, you got to look at an App State or a Coastal Carolina, somebody who's been really good lately. That maybe an enticement for some of those conferences above them. So I think you have to look at that. This is going to be a progressive raid, if you will. You know, the American's going to take some teams, and what does Conference USA do to survive? And I thought at the end of the day that when Texas and Oklahoma went to the SEC, that we might end up with one less net conference in FBS, and we'd be down to 9. I don't think that's going to happen now. There are too many schools that are applying for FBS membership or will. So if the Sun Belt really gets hit, then I don't know if you know this, Chip, but the WAC is coming back in football. The WAC, they're playing, they have an agreement with the Atlantic Sun. They're playing an FCS schedule this year. So there's a bunch of schools there that want to be in FBS. So it's going to replenish itself. It's just going to take a matter of years.
Do you think that, does that mean that the number of FBS programs could be going up here in the next decade?
Oh, yeah, it's been going up for a long, long time. When, in 1977, when the College Football Association formed, there were 62 teams, I think, in the CFA and 90 teams below that. The group of five was 90 teams back then. 41 of them either don't play football anymore or funded at a lower resource level. And it's been growing for years. It used to be, you know, 10 years ago, it was 120. Now it's 130. And I'm not saying it's a wise decision financially. Some of these schools are throwing good money after bad. But they see a brand for their school, not just a football program, but a brand of being FBS.
We got a question here as we are live on youtube.com/cover3. RR asks, why no SMU?
I will quote a source directly from SMU. Both entities, the Big 12 and the American, are already in Texas. SMU has a history since the death penalty of not winning. They're winning. They're doing okay lately. It's a private school. It's a small school with not a huge fan base. So I think that might work against it. I'm not saying SMU's out. I'm just saying the odds are working against it because there's other schools, better schools that are more attractive in Texas than SMU.
And then I would say that, you know, we've hit the timeline, the expectation that Big 12 will try to be at 14, hang on to Texas and Oklahoma as much as possible. Do you think that Texas and Oklahoma have interest in leaving early? And do they have the finances to pay the massive exit fee and get out early?
Oh, I absolutely think they want to get out early. I think there's people in the Big 12 expect them to leave early. They won't say that out loud. It just becomes a question of what the process is. You know, do they get into negotiations? Hey, if you let us out early, you know, can we give you 60 instead of 80 million or something like that? Because I will tell you, ESPN and the SEC can't wait to get their hands on that inventory that Texas and Oklahoma would create. So while the expectations that they're going to stay 4 years, I think the entities I just mentioned want them sooner than that.
And for those just joining before we get out of here, Jack asks, are there enough reputable programs for the Big 12 to want to expand to possibly 16 teams?
Yeah. I haven't heard that. No, I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I have not heard that at all yet.
A little bit more. 14 is probably the number that
14 looks like the number for now. Yep.
And it all starts with getting to 12. With BYU, Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston all accepting invites on this Friday. Okay, we'll do one more question before we get. Dennis is in Columbus, by the way. Follow him on Twitter at Dennis.CBS for everything Ohio State, Oregon. He will also be on CBS Sports HQ for the Cover 3 Takeover. CBS Sports HQ every 4 p.m. on Friday, Cover 3 Takeover. Dennis will be with us for that. Also having interviews with both Ryan Day and Mario Cristobal. All right, question is, with the four new additions, is there a point where these teams dominate the league like they have been, the AAC, with more revenue and better recruits?
See, that's the problem with the Big 12 as it exists. Without the Texas and Oklahoma, there's no there. That was the worth of the conference. And Oklahoma, at least on the field, dominated, but Texas dominated in the boardroom and in revenue and decision-making as well. So, no, I don't think so. BYU is better, than they have been. Houston has been consistent. Cincinnati obviously is a top 10 team right now, and it's been to New Year's Six Bowls. I don't see anybody dominating. You know, even UCF. UCF doesn't open Florida to open recruiting for the Big 12 in Florida. Big 12 schools can go to Florida anytime they want and recruit in half. And that includes Texas and Oklahoma. So, yes, it's a market. It's one of the biggest schools in the country. Does it get better with better exposure? Yes, absolutely. But I don't think it, you know, if that's a, that, that'd be worth another podcast, Chip. Who's the favorite in the 12-team Big 12 as we look at it right now?
Well, I'll tell you, I think that every one of these programs shows up to the conference. And if Texas and Oklahoma are still here, this is not the case. But when it is resettled, every one of these programs should expect to compete for conference championships.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no reason why UCF or Cincinnati in particular, and then I would say maybe Houston or BYU as well, that why they should look across the landscape and see, like, yes, you know, who knows who's coaching Iowa State by the time we get to that. Yeah. But, you know, West Virginia's a good program. Baylor has played for Big 12 championships in recent years. Oklahoma State, consistently a top 25 program. But Oklahoma's been the one in that league, and it ain't even been Texas when it comes to winning championships. So it's wide open for any one of those programs to be able to go and make a run at it. Well, Dennis, we'll let you get off to your interviews. Go send Cover 3's best to Ryan Day. We appreciate you jumping on. You can follow him on Twitter at Dennis.CBS. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Dennis, thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks, Chip.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.